This is the Big Biz Show. What's so funny about investing money, you ask?
Play ball.
The Big Biz Show with Russ and Sully hope to answer that. Top-rated insightful financial analysis. If you're looking for insightful financial perspective on key market strategies, keep looking. I told you, this is the Big Biz Show. Hello. This is Russ and Sully.
Hey there, live from the Top Television Studios in sunny San Diego, California. The Big Biz Show is on the air. Great to have you around today. So I want to get right into this market thing today because stocks seesawing between gains and losses. It was really interesting how the market was going. But I'll tell you, turns out that, you know, much of the fears from what happened in the beginning of the week are allayed. The fact that this yield curve inversion was just a flash sort of signal. The fact that, you know, so as a result of that, everything, Dow Jones, NASDAQ, S&P, all climbing up well above 1% today. Yeah. So we haven't gained everything back from what we lost on Wednesday, but we're looking pretty good. But what's interesting is investor sentiment, because I spend a fair amount of time with private investors and private investors that like to put money into publicly traded companies without buying their stock, but actually doing, you know, what are called PIPE. A PIPE transaction
I've heard of a PIPE.
A private investment into a public entity. Okay.
What?
So in other words, what happens is they'll put a, you know, if you're an investor, you can put money into a company either by buying their stock.
Yes.
Or if they happen to be also raising money, because when you're buying their stock, they don't get the money.
Right.
That's
right.
Just an auction.
But
if they're also raising money, they go to investors to raise money.
Okay.
That's what's called a PIPE. And what's interesting is investor sentiment has been sort of at a stop-go sort of arrangement here in the last, 12 weeks, because there's a lot of investors that are gung-ho to get into stocks. And there's a number of well-known public companies. Canopy Growth Fund is one of them.
Really?
Where people are trying to throw, or not people, but they're out there raising money.
Yeah.
And they have investors at the doorstep. And then all of a sudden, this market, the action you saw this week is causing some very reliable companies to have trouble raising capital.
Darn it.
So, and what I think is going to happen down the road, when you see like the news on Canopy Growth and a number of companies like that, I think what you're going to see is all of a sudden, as things get sunny, okay?
Yes.
Those guys are gonna have
come back in.
They're gonna. Oh yeah.
So they're just waiting around now.
I think they're waiting around a little bit.
Simmer down.
Yeah, a little bit.
Simmer down now.
We've got Tom Del Beccaro, the author of The Divided Era, coming in with us in just a click. But in the meantime, our good friend Dr. Elliot Goldstein is the president and CEO of Promise Neurosciences, harnessing the power of precision medicine to conquer Alzheimer's. And I did a keynote in front of some Alzheimer's folks at Sharp Hospital.
Yeah.
Just recently, and I was talking to them about this. And what's interesting is Promise Neurosciences is pretty well known. Elliot, did you know that you guys are even though you're well known, you know, with your shareholders, you're well known because of, well, we've, you know, shed a lot of light on you. But did you know that you're also well known in the medical community in San Diego? Were you aware of that?
Well, not San Diego particularly, but generally, yes.
Because we are the capital of all things science.
That's right.
Or at least we think we are.
We have a whole plateau. We have a whole bluff near the beach that we've dedicated.
Only because, you know, once you get the Salk Institute in your blood here, you sort of feel like you're a research capital and so. Mm-hmm. But yes, people knew exactly who you were when I spoke to them just last week. Yeah. It was really impressive.
Illumina, too, you know, finding this.
The guys from Illumina were there.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact.
There's potential in there.
Talk a little bit, because we picked up a couple of new networks, Dr. Goldstein, about what you guys are all about, because you are the president and CEO of a company. You're a physician by training. You've dedicated your whole life to this. And now there's this public health crisis that is called Alzheimer's disease. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Well, at Promise, we're focused on creating treatments for so-called neurodegenerative diseases like Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and ALS. And the reason behind this is the unmet need is massive. There are currently no therapies that exist that can slow or stop the progressive death of neurons, brain cells, if you like. And that's what's common to all of these diseases. Close to 100 million individuals worldwide are suffering from neurodegenerative disease, with upwards of 50 million diagnosed with Alzheimer's, another 10 million with Parkinson's disease. And it's anticipated that in the next decade, the total cost to manage these diseases in the United States alone could be $1 trillion. Wow. So we've got to stop the underlying root cause of these diseases.
And what's interesting is the traditional method for doing so doesn't work on a certain piece of this Alzheimer's Parkinson problem. So talk about that without getting too far in the weeds. You guys have sort of identified a better way to deal with this.
Yeah. Well, simply put, there's a common thread across all these diseases. And after two decades of research now, not by ourselves only, but by academic groups and other companies, it's now known that the root cause of each of these diseases is the presence of an abnormal, misfolded, improperly folded protein, a misfolded toxic form of an otherwise normal protein. And these toxic misfolded proteins kill neurons and spread through the brain. So what's unique about PROMIS? We have a proprietary discovery platform that's allowed us to create antibody therapeutics that precisely target, knock out only the toxic misfolded forms of these proteins.
Does it knock it out or does it fold it properly?
No, it knocks it out.
That's a great question. You have to remember that this guy is,
I'm just wondering. I see barely this thing conscious. Like, approaching on. I'm unfolded. Somebody unfold me. I'll be okay. But no, you just get rid of that bad boy.
You're too dangerous. Misfolded protein will kill neurons and spread through the brain, killing others. So, but what's essential to do here is knock out the toxic forms, but not interfere with the normal forms of these proteins, because they all have important functions in the brain.
Yeah.
To sum it up, to our knowledge, PROMIS's ability to selectively neutralize these toxic misfolded proteins, to our knowledge, again, is unique in the industry. And that's what's really special about our company.
You know, what's interesting is where you guys are in sort of the arc of your story. Talk to us about, you know, something we don't really haven't talked about much, is because we're talking sort of about what you do, is where you're going to be in the next 18 months. And of course, we don't talk about share price, we don't talk about numbers. I'm talking about, you know, with the FDA and everything that goes along, can you guys sort of predict where you have to be in a certain point in time and so on and so forth?
Yes, with relative certainty. But of course, you know, where you are in terms of development depends a lot on regulatory feedback, as you mentioned, FDA and others.
Yeah.
But over the next 18 to 24 months, our major focus is on, in particular, developing a partnership or collaborative agreement with a major pharmaceutical or biotech company. And we're talking to many companies. I obviously can't give details. It's confidential. But we're talking to a handful of known companies in the field. And we're getting a lot of interest, in my opinion, in our platform as such. In other words, our ability to address multiple neurodegenerative diseases, not just Alzheimer's or ALS,
sure,
but there's a whole handful of them. So that's really what I think is on the horizon over the next 12 to 18 months, a major partnership deal, which of course also could bring in significant funding, which then allows us to drive to the clinic in the next 18 clinical trials in the next 18 to 24 months.
So let's talk about the, you know, just generically, when you talk about that, you know, there's only a couple paths to liquidity for biopharma companies. You know, one of them is taking their drug all the way to the goal line themselves, mm-hmm, which means getting through all the FDA approvals, raising enough money to get it out there, marketing it, developing it,
making it, distributing it, so on and so forth.
But then the other one is it's the acquisition model, right? And that's sort of what you just alluded to. Talk about that just a little bit.
Correct. In my experience over 30 plus years in pharmaceutical drug development and biotech drug development, I'd say over 90% of successful biotechs crystallize value through some sort of major deal, merger and acquisition generally, either for the entire company or major portion of it. And I think that's the reasonable expectation. What we do really well in smaller biotechs is the research. We're nimble, we move quickly, develop new paradigms. What a large pharmaceutical partner does really well are those large-scale clinical trials that require sort of a army-like organization. And I've been there before, having done that in big pharma at SmithKline Beecham and Novartis. So different roles for different companies. We would envisage either a major collaboration or eventually crystallizing value through acquisition, you know, M&A.
Exactly. And that's part of like where you sort of don't, I mean, it's good news for a biopharma company when they don't get to execute their model because they get bought by a bigger company who can. That's probably the layman's terms, right?
Yeah, well said.
I mean, I think that's how it works. Always interesting to talk to you, Dr. Elliot Goldstein. I can't wait to get you in San Diego at some point because you know what? This guy's also a bike rider, and I promised to get him involved with the Challenge Athletes Foundation.
We've got some beautiful places to bike.
Yes, we do. Dr. Goldstein, thank you so much. Of course, the stock symbol ARFXF. And of course, that's up on the website, bigbizshow.com. And their website is showing up there right on the screen, promiseneurosciences.com. But Promise doesn't have an E at the end of it, okay?
I hope they get it along because...
Because you're getting, you're
I'm getting, getting there. I'm getting where I might be.
Because you're getting up there.
Need some samples, Doc.
Is that what's happening?
Elliot, send me some samples.
You know, I don't think you're allowed to have samples yet, if I'm not mistaken.
Hey, it's the eat it if you want it law. What was that?
The eat it if you want it law. Nailed it. Perfectly. Hey, Trey Wasser from Ely Gold Royalties is going to join us. We're going to dip into, there's a big article on gold today and why it's in fashion once again. Stand by.
Voted Ben Bernanke sexiest Fed chairman ever. It's Sully and Russ on the Big Biz Show.
Hey, nationwide, coast to coast, 110 million TV homes strong and 150 radio stations in 175 countries. The Big Biz Show is on the air. Great to have you. Sully here, Rusty Nails there. What a week on Wall Street.
I'm the one in the realtor's jacket.
Yes, you are.
Because I know a lot.
Gold in fashion once again.
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, just amazing.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking of having my grill all done.
Yeah.
I don't even know what
so,
I
yeah, in fact, some analysts, by the way, yeah. Some analysts now seeing the precious metal making a climb to record high of 2,000 an ounce. It's going to need a little more fuel to make that move. But gold is definitely back in fashion, at least in the investment world.
It's never been worth nothing.
I love that about gold. And there's been a little undercurrent of demand to gold because of things like the China trade war and the dispute with China, and as well as a possible recession. So gold experts are saying right now that it's been a long time coming. And they expect gold prices to go to 2,000 by sort of the end of next year. Short term, like $1,500, $1,600 an ounce.
Okay.
Gold trading today on Wall Street, I just had it up.
I hope my mom's watching because your molars ain't saved no more.
Up to 1,524 now, right? So, I know,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Well, here to talk about that, we met a really interesting gentleman. We're going to start following his stock. Really like the guy, Trey Wasser. He's the president and CEO of Ely Gold Royalties. And, obviously, this is now a huge, important part of your asset allocation.
Huge.
They are a relatively new player in the gold royalty space. But to talk a little bit about that, since we had such a great response from him last time, and I got an awful lot of people wanting to hear his story, we brought him back on the air. So Trey Wasser joins us all the way from Dallas, Texas. Trey, how are you, sir?
Story time with Trey.
There he is.
Great to see you again, Sully. How you doing, Russ?
I'm groovy.
I love that. It's fantastic to see you, Sully. Oh, hey, Russ.
Yeah, I know. By the way, I'm here too.
Hey, Trey, can you, for our listeners and our television viewers, take us through what a gold royalty is?
Well, a gold royalty is a contract with the gold mining company that pays from the very top of the revenue chain, if you will, on the revenues from a gold mine.
Okay, so at the end of the day here, the gold royalty space is a way to participate in the gold business where the way I see it so far and everything I'm researching, there's less downside.
Really?
I think you're higher on the food chain, Trey. Am I being accurate about that?
No, you're exactly right, Sully. We're right at the top of the food chain. We have none of the production costs. We have none of the development costs. And we have, in most cases, free exploration and development expansion of a mining asset. Most mines, when they go into production, they just have the minimal amount of gold outlined to warrant the production and the and the building of the mine, but there's always a lot more gold there to be found.
So wait a second. So hang on a second. So what you're basically doing is you are prospectors that sell property with gold on it and retain royalties. That's as simple as I can put it, right?
Well, that's correct, and of course we also purchase royalties from third parties.
Okay, now when you sell a property but retain the royalty, is that sort of because you're selling it at a lower price? Is that how that works?
Well,
what would be the impetus for to be able to keep the royalty on a property you're selling in that case?
We just are very good at identifying, and we have very good properties. So it's really an industry standard when you sell a property to retain a royalty. So that's not something that is unusual. We are fair in our prices, and you can tell by the number of transactions if your listeners go to our website and see how active we've been for the last 3 years in developing and selling properties and retaining the royalties.
Well, that makes sense if you've already got an established place, then, because a mine is a terrible thing to waste.
Oh, my gosh.
Thank you. Be here all week, folks. Two shows on Saturday. Isn't that a great joke? A mine.
Yeah, I know. I got you. I appreciate that. Thanks for that. I have a question for you. Fed Reserve drops interest rates. There's any indication of quantitative easing going on. If the whole thing starts going south, that only helps you guys, correct?
Well, that's right. There's several factors that I think are driving the price of gold right now. One of them is certainly lower interest rates. The bang on gold, if you will, is at higher interest rates, gold doesn't pay a dividend. So if you are holding physical gold and it's compared to holding a bond or other financial asset that is paying a dividend or interest, gold has a tougher time competing. But now with many of the sovereign debt, I think last count was 40 trillion something.
No, that's right.
That's at negative interest rates.
And the playing field is so jacked up on that. Last of all, for you, you guys as a smaller company in this gold royalty space, what do you got? 5 producing or near producing long-term gold royalties right now? And I think that's like the last 6 months. It's the last thing I read. Talk about that. Where are you guys at?
Yeah, we're closing. We've done 5 deals since the first of the year. Wow. We're really in the sweet spot right now, Sully, because we're at the point where we're about a $40 million market cap company. Our nearest peers are $120 to $150 million market cap company. So we're in the sweet spot right now where every transaction we do moves the needle for us. So we're at that hockey stick point, if you will, on the curve for a royalty company, but where these every transaction means something, and our stock seems to reflect that every time we make an announcement.
So, speaking of announcements, and I know you can't disclose everything, but what are you focusing on right now? Are you guys raising capital? Are you guys looking for more properties? What are you guys doing in the arc of your story as a company?
Well, really all of the above. It's a busy time for us as far as the staking and prospecting, because at the end of this month, anybody who doesn't pay their claim fees on U.S. ground will go get those claims if we think they're attractive.
Hot diggity.
There you go. Yeah. You don't play your claims fees. That's Joey right. The donut's going to show up. Yeah. No, this is good. So, by the way, the name of the company, Ely Gold Royalties, Inc. You're looking at the website there for our TV audience. You can go to elygoldinc.com and check them out. And they are publicly traded in the U.S. Ely, so E-L-Y, right?
I love that. Getting close to the
Ely
gold
Ely-Y, G-F. There you go.
I dated a girl. Her dad was had a
money. Thank you, Trey. Appreciate it.
Clementine, I think her name was.
Unbelievable. Because a mine.
Her father was.
Because a mine.
Huh?
A mine is a terrible thing to waste.
And Clementine was the girl.
Yeah, I gotcha. Oh, my darling. You're a proud American today, aren't you? You're a proud American.
Only because.
Last night was a big day for you. Last night was a huge day for you.
Big.
Night.
Huge.
Those freaking rallies are like, for the people that go there, they're frothing.
I want a stadium full of...
But they're also very entertaining. It's like, hey, thank you, everybody.
Right.
You know, I mean, honestly, and he's, Donald Trump, of course, is, you know, waiting for his
he's
next one
lineup.
He's kind
of coordinating it from up there and stuff. Can we get a doctor here? Can we get a hang there? That's beautiful. There he is.
Yeah, there he is.
Have a hat. Poomf.
Yeah, he can't even wear a white hat now. All right, Big Biz Show, bigbizshow.com.
They wanted to win a medal in curling until they found out it had nothing to do with lifting beers. It's Sully and Russ on the Big Biz Show.
Big Biz Show, bigbizshow.com. Great to have you along, nationwide, coast to coast. You know, we're in 110 million TV homes over there. 150 radio stations in 175 countries. That 175 countries is because Armed Forces Radio Network.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I was worried.
Yeah. And all the ships at sea.
Are we translating?
No, not translating.
Ships at sea.
Ships at sea. Got you.
Just want to say that, Peter. Mm-hmm. Great to have you along today. We're lucky to have Tom Delbocaro in studio this week. Are you here Monday, too?
I can be.
Well, I mean, I like that idea. I know, and of course, if you are in around Southern California... Well, you see Tom all over anyway, mm-hmm. On in different national formats,
oh, yeah.
And you read about him on Fox News, Fox Business. Are you like on MSNBC also, or just
no.
Stay away? Yeah,
I was a long time ago.
I thought
one
you were.
Time.
What happened?
I was when I was running for U.S. Senate against Kamala Glassjaw Harris.
I got a great joke about her. I'll tell you.
Kamala. So, in fact, we should do a thing where if you want, like Russ will tell you a private joke for right. a fee.
Yeah.
Is a service that you should have like that where people pay to talk
it's
to,
called Fiverr.
To you.
Talk to
it's
comedian,
called Fiverr.
Really.
And they pay to talk to you.
Damn right.
Could you imagine someone.
I'm writing this down in your book.
Normally it's paying full to talk to you, but this would be paying for you.
Yeah. That's right.
Because a mind
is a terrible thing to waste, everybody.
See, the problem is, here's the thing, is Russ could never use that joke again because there's no context that you're in that could ever
Most
work.
Most of my humor is, that's what corporate
are one-offs?
Shows are. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Oh, yeah. This has to be.
It's personalized, not customized.
But jacket
can I tell you? Yeah, it really is. Or torn off. Can I just can I just say last night, so I had to drive last night to Orange County.
Mm-hmm.
And I will tell you that as a libertarian, okay, I love when politicians get right to the point.
Okay.
And I loved when Donald
Land
Trump...
Land the plane.
I love when Donald Trump basically says...
You're an idiot.
You don't vote for me, your 401k will probably be half. Like, he almost said... And I thought to myself, what a better message to send. I mean, why...
Direct.
I wish... And he also said this. Hey, look, you may not like me, but if your 401k, if you want your 401k to stay up, you vote for me again.
Like
that's
that.
Basically was the tenet of his entire message last night.
Well, it's not altogether wrong. Look at
it's
it.
Not.
At the end of the day, the Democrats are promising to take your health care away, expand spending dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Elizabeth Warren would like to take spending overnight from $5 trillion a year at the federal government to 18.
That's a jump.
That's doable. That's,
okay.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
So...
It is doable. That's the scary part.
Let her roll.
The fact that it is doable is frightening to me.
If that were to occur along with the tax increases, the economy would go down and the market would reflect that big destruction to the federal budget process.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Trump saying simply, if you like the money you have, you can keep it under me.
Yeah.
If you like the money you have, you can keep it.
But that's a good
slogan. I think that should be
I just made that up because my mom.
You should write a whole piece on that.
Next to my business idea. In your book,
I don't know if you remember, I wore a shirt once on this show, and the gentleman over here
in the red coat
said that I almost had a stroke looking at my shirt. I am having a stroke looking at your jacket.
I'll tone it down a bit.
But here's the...
Now it's only half as loud.
And he snorted. Which means he lost 50 comedian points.
Hog laugh. All right.
Here we go. So my point is that, look... He only lost by 2,300 votes in the state of New Hampshire during the presidential.
He's got a shot at that.
Okay, those are four electoral votes. Okay, if he wins New Hampshire, he could lose a couple other states and still tie it up if he wins everything else. I mean, I did the math last night. Of course, that's what all I'm doing is doing math during these things. If he picks up those four votes, he could afford to lose a couple of the tight ones that he won last time, as long
like
as he wins
Michigan
everything else.
Michigan or Wisconsin.
Probably Michigan or Wisconsin specifically.
And Pennsylvania are the three to watch.
Right. So if he picks up those four and lost two of those three, he still wins this whole thing. Where did Russ go?
New jacket.
Okay, but I mean, is that the strategy right now? A math game for those guys?
Well, it's always a math game. The way he ran the last time, it was definitely a math game. They didn't worry about the popular vote down the end of the road, and what they did is focused on certain states that Hillary was ignoring, and he pulled that inside straight. Whether you can do, there shouldn't be a surprise this time. Although, if Joe Biden's the nominee, they're already saying they're restricting his outings because he's making so many gaffes.
Yeah. Well, so before
we
get there,
guess, though.
I want to talk about that though, because the math game is this.
The gaff game.
Well, no, the math game is this. Because, look, I'm a big believer in the Electoral College. The Electoral College was a compromise, by the way, because I think in the original founding documents, the Congress was supposed to pick our president, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, in some of the plans. The Electoral College, Delaware, said we're not. Virginia was massive.
Right.
Delaware was nothing. They said, we're not going to. Why would we go in with Delaware? Rhode Island was so small, it didn't even show up to the convention.
Sure.
The Electoral College,
which was the problem, which basically so the people that are going to be campaigning, you're going to ignore those states,
small things, and just do Virginia, New York, and the like, which is the current situation. So if you're out there and you're claiming, oh, the Electoral College has no relevance today, it would bind the country. In the absence of the Electoral College, this country would, there'd be a massive movement to split up this country.
Well, sure there would, because everybody
which
would.
Which way, though? Well, left, right, up, down?
You know. I think the middle states would leave. They should leave. Yeah. Why would you? It's like California. You're run by San Francisco.
You couldn't compete with Texas, California, New York,
the big
population states. Isn't that the idea?
The Democrats would only campaign in cities, get those votes.
Yeah.
The middle states, it'd be like the whole state, it would be like California.
But here's my question.
LA runs it, and if you're in the Central Valley, you're run over in California.
So let me tell you my concern, though. When you see the math game going on now, mm-hmm. isn't that the same sort of game in a different arena? Well, because now I'm assuming that Donald Trump's going to pay a few more visits to New Hampshire before this is all over.
Well,
I doubt he's going to pay any visits to some of those states where it's a lock.
Someone should write a book that highlights the sorting out of red and blue states.
I know, right?
And develops this topic even more. But the truth of the matter is, and I write about this in my
book. I know you do. That's why I'm asking you. Because this is
natural. Our founders expected us to go. We're associative beings, right?
Mm-hmm.
To go where others are like us. And we are sorting red state, blue state in that regard, which long-term gives the Senate to Republicans mm-hmm. because there's 30 to 31 red states,
right.
Some of them small.
Yeah.
The House will flip back and forth a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And the Democrats have a natural lead when it comes to the presidency because of the West Coast, Hawaii, and New York. And the way Republicans have to win is they have to pick off these states and that you're concerned with. But, yeah, that
well,
is...
Well, my concern is when... Because, look, you know, in the 80s, I think Texas was a... we were a red state here in California in the 80s, mm-hmm. and Texas was a blue state. And they were
92
ignored.
92 was the last...
And they were ignored, basically. Because
and that's really,
I don't have to campaign in those states, right?
Yeah.
That's the challenge here, right?
I mean, well, isn't that the, look, and this will continue to go on unless, of course, you look at the fact that our spending since Reagan has tripled since he said government is the problem.
Yeah.
We're moving towards socialism. My latest Fox piece is at foxnews.com is essentially the Democrats want socialism. It's not a question of if, it's a question of when. If you're Elizabeth Warren, it's next week. If you're Joe Biden, it's a week from today. It's a couple of weeks after that. Because Joe Biden, I don't know if you remember in the last debate, Joe Biden was screaming about the fact that, oh, well, he wasn't screaming, but he was highlighting the fact, your jacket is screaming.
I'm back.
He was highlighting
another
the fact
bad jacket,
that
by the
Kamala
way.
Harris uh-huh. wanted to spend $3 trillion on health care. What Joe Biden, and if Kamala Harris was any good at debating, she would have looked at Joe and said, you want to spend $4 trillion on the new Green Deal.
Yeah.
But in any case, they want to drive up spending so high socialism.
Let's start the conversation about the fact that Joe Biden later in the day is having a little more trouble with his gaffes.
Oh,
so they're sort of
yeah.
like wanting to restrict his public appearances to morning time. I mean, and the problem is, and this is the guy who's leading the polls for the Democratic Party?
Well, the morning time is 3 because he's up, he has to pee about that time. Do the figure, go downstairs, make a sandwich, talk to the press, come back. There he is.
Yeah,
I mean, he's got the Smollett collection eyewear, too.
If you're on Twitter, we're having a contest as to which jacket.
Oh, here it is. Yeah, which one wins? Hey, that's a nice jacket.
Get up for you.
It's a nice
anyway,
jacket.
So yeah. Yes, they are limiting his public appearances.
That's too bad.
They did before the first debate.
Yeah.
Because he knew he would say these gaffes. And by the way, let's be very clear. They're calling, a lot on the left are calling Trump racist. The most racist thing said by a major figure in American politics in the last 30 years was...
Joe Biden.
Joe Biden saying...
You have to have a slight Indian accent to work at a Circle K.
No.
No, that was damn racist.
This was a good one.
That wasn't the most, though. No. It was his recent...
It? Oh, yeah.
That poor
Hold on.
People,
no, don't say it. Don't wait. Say it. When we come back to the break, I'll let you say it.
Not only that.
It's called a tease.
I'll have another jacket.
You're right.
And I'll be taller.
The most racist comment.
There we are.
And there's Joe and Rusty.
He smelled
Big
my
Big
hair.
Nice Nehru.
His hand was on your ass at that point.
Let go of my pulu.
Big Biz Show.
What year is that?
I was 14.
That's
We're in a
wrong. Exactly. Watermelon Man. One of the greatest songs ever.
We all know that.
It's like a Friday. You guys know this song?
No, I don't.
Have you not heard this song?
I've heard the song, but I never knew who. It sounds like Tijuana Brass.
I forget
maybe.
The name of the artist.
Huh? Tijuana Brass?
Yeah. No, 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 no.
No, I'm saying.
No, but the reason is I heard this on the way
Tequila.
In today. No, I heard this on the way in today, and I thought, this is like the perfect summer song.
I'm
for like Friday?
Yeah.
Try right? You have another jacket on.
That's right. It's a big show. We can just splice this up and have 4 or 5 shows out of
we
this
want
one.
Vote. Go on Twitter. Vote number 1 for the red jacket.
Yeah.
What was the other? 2 for the ugly blue jacket and 3 for this respectful jacket.
I think it's right here.
Yeah.
So that's it.
And I would argue.
What is it?
Possibly illegal jacket.
Oh,
because pretty sure you're not allowed to wear that.
I'm not stealing any valor.
Well, you're on national television in a military. Hey, Roger. You know are you Roger Healy? Is it?
Yeah. No. I'll take
you
it.
You look like Major Healy.
He does. I fight.
Huh?
That is who you all along.
I hope we're all enjoying this together.
So you were a big thing in the 60s, and now
I'm just big in the 60s. Hey, everybody.
Oh, my God. It's
a special, I did not
is
the weekend set up here? That joke. What
this, is why you know, this is why you're not allowed in the studio very much.
Me?
You.
Yeah,
you. You bring out the worst
you,
in me.
Because you bring out the worst in him.
Author of this book.
I like to get... we can finally get some traction going when you're in studio, and then Russ, you know...
I'll shut up.
All goes to hell in a
handbasket.
We'll
find another jacket.
No, don't. Just stay there. Just stop.
You want the sweater?
No.
I'm Sicilian.
Because he's got a Bill Cosby sweater.
Built in.
Which is awesome. Okay, so the racist thing ever said in this... The most recent thing said was said by Joe Biden.
Yes, and it was by a man who used to brag that he was from a slave state that has... talked about insensitive things in the past, quote insensitive, like in saying, oh, in Barack Obama, we have a young, clean African-American, you know, da-da-da-da-da.
Well-spoken. And
But to say that is so condescending, and it's just so bad to even...
Of course, did actually cause him to go down and fall out of the race back in 2008. But this time around, he said point blank that poor kids are just as smart as white kids. Okay, so that means white kids are not poor, and all poor kids are not white.
There you go.
There's no way around that. And here's there was just a gaffe. No. In all my life, my synapses would never put those things together, right?
Yeah.
And you know, Look, Italians used to be discriminated against in this country. Very few people know that during World War II that Italians were also put away in camps.
Oh, wow.
And look, there are immigration bills.
Have you done 23andMe? Because I'm pretty sure you're Irish.
Yeah, right. Our immigration bills in 1920 and 24 or 23 were very anti-Italian. They were skewed back to the Irish and not to the southern Italians who had been coming over in the millions.
Wow.
So, look, but that's Joe Biden. But he gets away with that. Trump says he should have legal immigration and he's racist.
Will he get away with that, though? Because look at this, and if you're on the radio, you can't see this picture. But if you're watching us on television, this is the face of the Democratic Party. He looks only slightly like Donald Trump's great grandfather in this point. You know, I mean, you have not only white, just old dude, right? I mean, isn't that the antithesis of what they want the face of the Democratic Party to be right now?
Not look running for president, flying back and forth the country. When I ran for U.S. Senate and I was going up and down California, I was tired.
Yes.
Going across time zones?
Hello.
Not everybody can do it. And look, Trump, love him or hate him, has an amazing stamina.
His body clock's weird. He's like a four-hour sleeper, and that's every other day or something.
Yeah, and he can seem to handle it, and Joe Biden cannot. And if they're serious about limiting him because of his gaffes, and it's only, 2019?
Mm-hmm. He's got plenty of gaff time.
Yeah.
I say let him gaff.
It's gaff time.
Gaff yourself out of the race.
Yeah, he's the gaff time show.
Keep gaff time
entertainment. Well, okay, the next thing to talk about, I have to talk about, is the squad.
I can't imagine there being a time when you would be arrested for smelling like garlic, though. That would be ridiculous. Just toss me in, because I'm Sicilian. All Italians.
How do you know? I did 23andMe, and my last name's Sullivan.
Smell my
knuckles. I'm called Sully.
Oh, yeah.
My daughter's named McKenna and Delaney.
And it's...
Okay, and guess what?
Uh-oh.
Do you know how much Irish I am?
Little.
Zero.
I'm
80% Sicilian, 10% Swedish.
I actually know my relatives going back generations and generations.
Well, thanks, Tom, because I don't even know my dad. Now, one more day, I would have been over it. Thanks so much, pal. More day, almost healed, and he's ripped that thing right up. Talk about the squad. Will these guys be a blip on the screen?
No, they won't, because there is a three-way civil war in the Democrat Party between the presidential candidates, all of whom want to drive the party in one direction.
Yeah.
Nancy Pelosi wants to hold on to the House.
Right.
She's actually the most moderate of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then the squad and other progressive who want to replace the agenda of Nancy Pelosi and replace many House members. That's three different groups holding on to the same wheel, driving down the road.
Mm-hmm.
And they are not going to go away because Pelosi can't push them out. In effect, they've become too powerful, AOC, to simply marginalize, so she has to put up with them.
Mm-hmm.
The 2020 candidates, it's ego. If you're close to becoming the nominee, you don't give that up. And you're not going to play well when others could pass you up by going to your left. So, no, this is a car careening down the road, and it's going to be that way for them. And by the way...
Are you concerned at all? Are you concerned
that way for Republicans in 4 years?
Do you think that's what? Well, how so? With Republicans, there's going to be a trifurcation there.
Yeah. If Trump or Biden wins, neither runs again.
Biden
will be 81, and there'll be 30 Republicans running.
Yeah,
and
just like we had last time.
And there'll be we only had 16.
We had 16. You're right,
and it narrowed down. I'm serious about 30. And then you'll have 30 Democrats. You'll have plus 60 people running for president.
Yeah.
And it will...
So the Swalwell-Hickenlooper ticket is dead.
Yeah, exactly right.
For now.
For now. They could,
I think Harris won't be able to climb her way back into the top unless Warren really blows it. And she could.
All right.
And how?
We'll see you again Monday.
Am I coming Monday?
Come on Monday. Come on.
But which jacket will he wear? Do I have any
rights? No.
Oh,
it's a tease.
He's wearing a
tease. It's a two-day tease.
He'll be wearing a tube top by then. Thank you.
Oh,
Tom Del Beccaro to the Biden
era. That's a bad visual.
PoliticalVanguard.com, TomDelicaro.com.
Put me all my hair.
Chris Janikas, our director, Jared Coleman, our assistant director.
That hurt.
Curtis Manovich, our floor director, our floor cameraman, our editor, our keeper of keys, and from whom all blessings flow. Look at you guys are freaking walking up set. Tom's on his phone. We're still on camera.
Oh, I'm reading.
Awesome.
Are we done? Watch out. Hey, get.
RussisBunny.com because.
RussisFatBall.com is
so Sully speaks everywhere. See you tomorrow.